Hey guys, it's Jeremy. Can you hear me okay? Oh, I got you on mute, sorry. It's kind of a mean trick to play. How's that? Hi, it's Jeremy. Can you hear me now?
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey. Is that Kathy?
I don't know. This is Kathy. I don't know how many other people are on here yet. I'm, for once, on time or almost early.
Well. Hey, we're an ADHD group, right? On time is any time between like 10 minutes ahead of time and 20 minutes after the hour, right?
That's very
always
strange.
Works. Yeah. How have you been?
Okay. I tried 2 weeks ago. I tried a call that Elaine did, where like people were on suicide watch and stuff, and it was really scary. So she suggested that maybe I find. You know that I tried this group too.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think this is for me.
I'm sorry that happened.
So
yikes.
She suggested that I, you know, that this maybe was a smaller group, and also even though I'm looking for older kids, that this might be fine.
Yeah,
but I will
night.
Confess that I really, honestly, I haven't figured out how to download anything or do anything with the other emails that you guys send. So I really have no idea when you guys are like. What did I take aim with? I'm just like, I don't know
what taking aim is.
Yeah. I mean, I assume. But I feel like I'm not really, I've looked at a few things, but I just don't feel like I really am understanding sort of broadly what the heck I'm supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So a couple things. I can email you a copy of the workbook so you have it.
Okay.
And then why don't we find a time to just chat maybe early next week and we can get kind of caught up. Would that be good?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess the question is more like it all seems really broad and then I have a hard time choosing one thing.
Gotcha. No, that's common.
So I don't know
that's
if I'm
totally normal.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
so
that's
how are other
help
people
you.
Doing it? If I'm
oh, well, we're gonna figure it out.
We'll
work through it together. Okay. Trust me, that's normal because there's a lot, right? You know, with our kids, there's a lot going
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
so
like,
where do I choose?
Also,
everything's bothering
yeah,
me.
And it's
yeah.
also different kids too. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I'll tell you what. So what we'll do is, we'll go around and everybody can check in. And then as we go through the call, maybe when we get to the point where we have some time to do a little laser coaching, I can work with you on how to take aim or what you want to take aim on. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
what's the
cool.
purpose of today's call?
Yeah. It's fabulous. Actually, today is parenting positively, so which is a positive thing. It's always good.
Great.
I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the recording on before I forget.
Oh, okay.
And it is, let's see. Today is November 6th. My gosh, how is it November 6th already? And this is Jeremy Didier, and we are in the Friday noon Eastern Time Parent Success System group, and our topic this week is parenting positively. And I'm going to let everybody check in. Who wants to tell us what's been going well the past couple weeks or something that they're still having challenges with? We've got several people on the call, so if you want to just jump in and introduce yourself and tell us what's been going great or what you want to keep working on. That'd be fabulous.
This is Jennifer. I'm in Olympia, Washington.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? My
good.
Son, Henry, is 11. And, you know, I'm a little bit struggling, which is not really a celebration. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's what we're here for.
With... you know, I noticed a difference not having a call last week. So when we had the calls back to back, I felt motivated. I had enough momentum. I kept going, and we were having success. And there are still a lot of things that are going well, but I just found myself like just because things
tired.
Are going well doesn't mean everything's better and fixed.
Right.
And so it's still a slog, and we still have, you know, the occasional blow up, and it still, you know, can be a roller coaster. And so I think this is a good topic for me for today because it's just the reminder of, marathon, not a sprint, and it's not always going to be great, and it can still be good even when it's not.
Yeah, yeah, but the success sounds like, I mean, it was going pretty well there, right? And that's a good change.
Yeah, no, it was going well, and the thing that was going well is still going well. I think I messaged you on Facebook
about changing the reward,
about
right? Or something
ring,
else.
I got greedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got greedy.
And so, just kind of thinking about that and being mindful of, because now, like in his mind, and this is the kind of thing I was worried about before I realized, oh, I'm doing this great activating the brain thing, was just like, oh, am I going to get magic cards if I do this? Am I going to get magic cards if I do that? And it turning into a, I'm only going to perform if you give me a treat. Which it's this, I'm reading a lot into what he's doing. But now I a little bit feel like, and I think this is part of why I feel like it's more of a slog. I have the one thing that worked and I don't want to jeopardize that. So now I got to start over again and find something else that works. And that's just all feeding into everything.
Oh man! But is the magic card still working then for the one thing that you applied it to?
Yes. Yes.
So that's still working.
Yes.
Okay.
Very effectively, and it did exactly what I wanted it to do. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good to know. I mean, it's hard, right? Because you get some success and you're not being greedy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be able to apply it to everything, right? Because there's a lot of things that we can take ape on.
Right.
But, yeah, let's celebrate for a little bit because that's huge that you found something that worked and worked well and, it was pretty quick, right? So
yes.
That's awesome. So that's all great information that you can kind of file away, and I know you know this, but we'll talk a little bit more about ways to stay positive when these kinds of things happen and find that success in there. Awesome. Thanks for checking in. Who else? I have a mystery person.
I just wanted to I'll introduce us. My name is Janet, and my husband Kirk is actually listening in too.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
Hi,
guys.
This is our first call. I spoke with you over email when we were deciding what to do.
Yeah, welcome.
And, yeah, thank you. Thank you. We're glad we're here. So I think that's what we're celebrating today is just that we're excited to start this and what we're learning and just looking forward to it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Just tell us real quick about the ages of your children and where you guys are in the world.
We have three children. We have a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and an 8-year-old. The 17-year-old we've known, he has inattentive ADHD for quite a while, and just been managing it, but more lately we've noticed impulsivity is getting in the way, and as with teenagers, the stakes are higher, so we've gotten as high as we want to go with the stakes, decided that we need to really take action, and then our 14-year-old is doing great, he's, in a good place right now, so that's great, and probably does not have ADHD. And our 8-year-old, we kept her back in second grade this year, and we're having her tested and, definitely see those qualities of ADHD. And it's nothing that, it's not anything that necessarily gets in the way hugely. She's not getting in trouble and things like that. I think her teacher's also noticing that the ability to sit in her chair and stay on task is getting in the way of her learning. And, so we just are familiar with those tendencies, and we've started to put some structures in place in the house. This year we've done better with structures and little organization, so we're finding some success with that. It's just the consistency and the craziness of life that
gets in the way,
so the structure of this program is clearly what we need.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Awesome. Thank you for introducing yourself. I'll go back and do kind of a brief walkthrough then of the system and the make sure that did you guys get the workbook okay?
Yes.
Yeah,
I have the
cliff notes up in front of me.
Awesome. And it's okay if you don't have it handy. You don't need to have it in front of you for the call. But if you do, it can be helpful. And if not, I typically don't read from it, but I usually touch on it. So at least you know what we're talking about. Well, welcome.
Great. Thanks.
Kathy, do you want to introduce yourself since you're new to this group too? May have put me on mute. Kathy?
Hello.
Hello.
My phone is cutting in and out, so hopefully
can
hear me. But
I hear you. Yeah.
I am in Philadelphia. I have three kids who are 12, 14, and 17, and the 17 is a son who has ADHD and was just diagnosed like 2.5 years ago and had already gotten in trouble, and so we've been through a big thing with him, and now we're just doing similar things of trying to make sure he's a good citizen and not greedy with earning money for chores and such. So that will be helpful. And then our 14-year-old probably has some sort of like social anxiety or ADD
mm-hmm.
combination, and she's unwilling to take medication. My son takes medication for school, but not on weekends.
Uh-huh.
And my 12-year-old is awesome. So she's the only one that is consistent and can follow through on a plan and is really thoughtful, and I want to be like her when I grow up. That's where we are. And my husband actually may join halfway through the call.
That'd be great.
Well.
Yeah. That'd be great. Awesome. Okay, cool. Welcome, guys. It sounds like we're going to have a great group today. So I'll just do a couple quick housekeeping things since we've got a couple new people on here. And as I said a few minutes ago, it's okay if you don't have the workbook in front of you. Do let me know if you can't download it for some reason or you're having trouble finding it. Kathy, I know you don't have it, so I'm going to go ahead and email it to you here in a bit. And we are on page 17 of the workbook today. That's where Parenting Positively is. And just typically the calls go a little bit like this. So everybody kind of checks in and tells us what you're celebrating. Sometimes you update us on what you've been working on the past couple weeks, what you took aim on the week before or whatever. You don't have to update us on that, and just kind of update us on whatever comes top of mind. This system is created for people with busy families and busy lives, and anyone who has more than, well, even with one kid with complex challenges, you're busy, right? So we don't expect you to be on every call. If you are, that's great. If you can't make it, don't worry about it. You don't have to let us know you're not going to be here. Just go ahead and listen to the recordings, and there's a whole bunch of recordings to listen to from each week. We have 11 groups that meet each week. So if you can't dial into another group live, go ahead and just listen to one of the recordings so you stay kind of on track or at least hear what's going on with other people. A lot of times I've found that, you know, if you have a question or an issue, typically there's about 4 or 5 other people on a call that may have the same issue, so you can get a lot of help that way too. If you have a question or something specific you'd like any of us to look at, post it in that Facebook Lifeline group and then tag either Elaine, Diane, or myself, and that way we know to kind of look and see what's going on and get back to you right away. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to jump in. Okay, so we're working through the parenting action model, and if you've looked at it in the workbook, and bear with me, Kathy, I know you're probably like, I don't have the workbook.
Yes.
Basically, we start with taking aim. And what taking aim does is help us to get really specific on what we want to focus on. And, you know, I get it. There's all kinds of different issues to start with, but we want to take aim on a problem, not on the solution. So sometimes we're taking aim on something that, oh, I don't know, like if you think about the morning routine, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about activating the brain, the morning routine has a million steps, right? So you can't focus on or take aim on the entire morning routine. You have to break it down to just one thing. And usually it's one thing that's causing you the most challenge, right? So when we're talking about taking aim this week with respect to positive parenting or parenting positively, it doesn't have to be an area that's the same as what you took aim on a couple weeks ago. Sometimes people change from week to week. Sometimes people take a big macro view and say, okay, this entire year I'm going to focus on how ADHD impacts my child at home or at school or in relationships or in organization. And then they take a micro view kind of within that sphere of influence. You don't have to do it that way, but sometimes that helps you kind of focus and get real clear on what it is you want to take aim on. So if we're thinking about taking aim, who would like to choose kind of what area they'd like to focus on? And I'll walk you through it, or I'll help you kind of refine it if you're having trouble.
Hi, this is Lisa. I'm in California. Hi.
Hello.
I have an 11-year-old. And I'm just going to continue to take aim on the same thing that I've been taking aim on, and that is transitions, especially transitioning, getting him off the computer or screens when it's time for dinner, time for bed, and everything that goes around that.
Okay. So transitions. Which one? Time for dinner or time for bed?
They're similar.
Are they similar?
Yeah, it's the same. Okay. It's the same problem. So,
okay.
Tell
me what's going on, real quick.
Well, it's just that you know, this is something I've been taking my aim on for a while,
right.
And you know, and I've tried a lot of different things, you know, like giving him, you know, telling him in advance, you know, it's time to get off, telling him, you know, if you're going to pick a video to watch, you know, you need to be off in a half an hour. But anyway, whatever happens is that it's always, you know, okay, it's time for dinner, and I usually tell him like 5 minutes in advance, but I don't tell him that dinner's not on the table yet because I know it's going to take him that long, or it's time for bed, same thing. But then one more minute, this is going to be over in 8 minutes, can I just please watch the rest of this, you know, and I usually give in and let him finish it if it's 8 more minutes, but the thing of it is that then I get busy and I kind of forget about it. Sometimes
right.
I set a timer so I know that it's 8 minutes or 10 minutes, and then I go back to him and I'm like, what's going on? So, but then it's still always, you know, he'll just stay on there forever and he won't come in for dinner or he won't start getting ready for bed. And, so, sometimes, you know, we fight and sometimes it gets, you know, physical where I'm actually, you know, picking him up out of the chair and, you know, telling him, you know, you need to turn this off right now. I already gave you more time. And sometimes it's just, you know, he's rude and says things that aren't very nice and then shuts it down. Or I'll be standing over him while he's doing one more thing, you know, and I'm just standing there getting hotter and hotter, you know, waiting for him to turn it off. And then eventually he'll turn it off, and a lot of times there's a fight involved. And then he'll either start getting ready for bed or come to the table for dinner. So that's kind of what happens. It seems like it's getting better, but still basically the same problem.
Okay. So it sounds like, and this happens in our house and probably every house, you know, there's a lot going on. You get distracted or he gets distracted. I mean, I always recognize how frustrating it is if someone needs me to stop watching something or stop writing something right in the middle. And so I'm like you, I'm more likely to say, okay, you can, you know, whatever, however much time is left in that video, you can have it till it's done. But then I think it makes it challenging for them because they're not sure kind of where the line is. So I'm wondering, in the past couple of weeks, has there been anything that you've been trying that's been working consistently or seems to be the same from week to week or time to time?
No. You know, I thought, you know, one of the recommendations that I got that I tried was, you know, telling him, you know, this is how much time you have, you know, so pick something that is going to take this much time. And I said, oh, that might work, but it doesn't, because he is like totally unaware of time, and he'll just start something else if he's done in early or something like that. And with Minecraft, you know, there is no time.
Oh gosh,
it's
yeah, no
time. Ongoing. So you know, and then he has to finish whatever he has to finish, and that I just you know,
okay.
So no, nothing really. It just has to, you know, I think just sometimes we're lucky and he's just about done anyway.
And it just worked out that way.
It's a coincidence. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to dig down deeper on that, I think, a little bit later on in the hour. But this is going to be a great topic for parenting positively. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to share what they'd like to take aim on?
So I definitely have a problem, but I don't know if I'm ready to take aim on it.
Okay.
And our issue is dinner time and it taking forever.
Dinner
my husband
take
and
forever.
I are right. So both kids just, and usually it's because it's something new and they don't really like it. And so I'm struggling with, do I, you know, cave and make macaroni and cheese every night, which I know they'll eat. But then that totally, you know, is devoid of nutrition and my values. Or do I keep it on until they just decide they're going to do it and eat? And the other, so part of the, I mean, food is just so complicated anyway. But my 11-year-old in particular is super, super skinny and doesn't have, even he doesn't take ADHD meds, but he has no appetite.
Gotcha.
So just get, like, it feels like getting food into him is just such a struggle, and it's so laden with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So it does, so dinner very quickly devolves into just unpleasantness.
Gotcha.
And so that, I've been trying to think about, this is a problem, and it's unpleasant, and I don't like ending our day like that.
Right.
And we typically eat together as a family every night, so it's not like, well, it's great, except it's miserable.
like, I would like to be the pleasant, like, picturesque family
right.
dinner that I was hoping for, right?
You know, it doesn't even have to be pleasant, as long as it's not, you know, the hot mess that it becomes sometimes. It could just be, kind of, like, you know, mildly whatever, but, yeah, so...
So the challenge is that it's is that they don't like what you're making, or that it's taken them a long time to eat, or they don't, they just are too picky.
I would say, depending on the night, it could be any one of those things. But mostly, like, if they really like something, well, and then the other, so one thing I was trying to notice this week is they come home from school, they're starving, and
mm-hmm.
so to avoid all those after school problems, you know, I'll try to load them up on something that is, you know, not, that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're not as hungry. So they're not as motivated
mm-hmm.
To even eat something that they don't really love. I mean, I'm not feeding them things that are horrible, but.
Oh, sure.
It's just, you know, yeah.
Huh.
So like,
okay.
There's all these components of like, is it that they're not eating enough at lunch so that they, you know, or is it the snack issue, or is it, I have to change what I'm cooking, or so that's why. So I was reminding myself about I wrote the piece down about you're taking aim on the problem, not the solution, because I feel like I struggle with taking aim because I think I have to have the answer in order to take aim.
Right.
On it.
I know, and that's so hard, right? I think we've talked about this before, because as parents, we want to solve the problem, right? We want to.
Right.
That's our job.
Exactly.
I can make it all better. I got to figure out how to make it better, and unfortunately, or fortunately. Sometimes we have to figure out what the change is that we want to see first and focus
exactly.
on just really what's happening. So, yeah, no, this is
And good. Then the other piece, too, is my husband and I are tired at the end of the day. So in terms of the parenting positively piece,
oh, sure.
I don't have a lot of compassion around this issue.
I hear you.
So if nothing else, if it would be an improvement for my husband and I to manage our parental response.
Okay. And that's
I,
a good
you know,
place
in terms
to start.
Of that could be the thing to take aim on, I guess.
Ooh, okay, cool. Okay, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with, kind of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be a great segue into today's topic. Anybody else want to jump in and either celebrate that we got a couple more people that jumped on, share what's going well, share what you'd like to take aim on? I know we're getting a little bit late, so. Give you a minute or two to come off mute, and then we'll dive in. Oh, did I hear somebody?
This is Kathy, and I'm not sure how this works, but
you're doing it.
I am really interested in getting my daughter to talk to me.
Okay.
As in, there's. So she's a ninth grader at a new high school, which is huge, and she's. She was never chatty before, but she's now really private and exhausted and probably naps when she comes home and then just can't really manage hello or much of anything.
The 17-year-old?
This is 14.
The 14-year-old, okay.
And, yeah, and mostly I'm livid about it, or if she's rude to her, you know, the perfect third child, but, or me, just by ignoring us or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Not really being able to answer any question whatsoever. But, I'm assuming that that she doesn't like being a witch. So I want to take aim on building a better relationship somehow.
Okay.
Being safe for her to talk to, or I don't know what the problem is. I just hate that she doesn't
talk to you
talk.
When she gets home from school. So a couple things.
Yeah.
So does it only happen when she gets home from school?
Or is
she's
it real chatty any time really, like on the
okay.
weekend either? But
mm-hmm.
she's always, you know, she always has like 43 conversations going on by phone, by text, and Insta-chat, Gram, whatever, many things. But
in no time.
But, yeah, we only get logistical questions like, can I have new sneakers? Will you give me a ride?
yeah.
Yeah.
That's teenage girls sometimes.
So,
yeah, no, but I mean, if it's mostly happening after school, and I mean, I think that that's great information. So a lot of times when we identify what we want to take aim on, you know, for the next week or two, sometimes it's about staying curious around that and kind of figuring out, okay, what exactly is going on? Is it that she's been working so hard at school all day to hold it together that she really just needs to come home and just zone out for an hour? And what if we knew that as parents? You know, what if you knew that the first hour she's home, it's, you know, she just needs that time. And then
right. After
that hour, you know, she's going to be available to be at least pleasant or somewhat pleasant or interactive. But if you knew that going in, how would that change your approach, or what would that do to change your approach?
I think we've come to terms with that. It's just that then she's really focused on homework and still not available to come to dinner or to interact at dinner or to when we have dinner together, or, you know, I think she survives on chocolate pudding that she sort of sneaks in when we're not looking.
There's a food issue too.
She can even put her head down at the table at dinner. She just doesn't have anything to offer. She maybe can't think about other people or what. I don't get it.
That's where we start, right? I mean, a lot of times if we don't know what's going on or we can't figure out why that's happening, that's where we start. We stay curious and we kind of take aim on just figuring out what exactly is happening for her. So this is great. This is a perfect, like I said, everybody's topics are going to be great segues into parenting positively. So I'm going to dive into that real quick, and then we'll kind of circle back around to what everyone's issues are or challenges are. So parenting positively, I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? Most of us know that we want to be positive, and that positivity breeds positivity, and what we focus on improves, and it hits us in many different areas, right? I mean, there's parenting positively from the respect of giving positive praise or positive reinforcement versus negative reinforcement. Diane talks about several different studies with respect to positive psychology that show that we need to be giving a 3-to-1 ratio of positive praise or compliments to negative feedback or, you know, redirection or consequences, and that ideally we should be doing 5-to-1. And when I hear 5-to-1, I think, oh, my God, I'm so far behind, right? But it's not just positive words. I mean, a lot of it, I think, is trying to figure out what it is that our child needs at that time. So, for example, we were talking about your daughter after school. You know, what is it that she needs right then? And what can we provide for her to help her be successful and to achieve the solution that you're hoping for? And I think when we come at it from that perspective, that opens the door a lot. A lot of it is a perspective shift, right? What's going on for them that's making this so difficult? And what can we do to better support them or to help them be successful? So that's another area. A lot of times I find that it's about being triggered and trying to find a way to keep myself calm when, you know, whatever, for the 10th time I've said turn off the Minecraft and come upstairs for dinner. That's hard. What kind of things are coming up for you guys as we're talking about parenting positively?
I definitely have triggers around the food thing, because I spend a ton of time trying to get together healthy meals, and then when we have so healthy meals plus, you know, the fact that he's so skinny, and so when I spend all that time and then it just is for what feels like for nothing, it just gets at the heart of, like, you know, you're a bad mother who can't feed her kids despite you're working really hard to try to do it. I'm responding to the managing your triggers, because it totally triggers me.
Yeah. And where does that story in your head, you know, what you're telling yourself about you're a bad mother, you can't even feed your kids, right? Where does that come from?
Yeah. I you know.
Stuff.
Yeah, just stuff. Just feeling like, you know, I work, and I do things, and it is, I think part of it is just feeding your family, especially now with all the challenges around, you know, organic and no meat and lots of meat and just all that stuff. It feels really elemental to the job of being a mother. And so, like, if you can't get food into them, you can't even do that. You know, why even bother with the higher stuff? I mean, in my most negative, like, bad self-talking.
Yeah.
I think it's some of that.
So you have a value around feeding your family, right? And if they're not eating what you're providing, that's in conflict with what your value is.
Right, and feeding them in a certain way. Like
feeding them in a certain way.
Being really mindful about what goes in and all of that.
And are your kids healthy? Is the doctor saying that they need to gain weight?
Definitely don't need to lose weight, and they're fine. I mean, I worry my 11-year-old's kind of on the fence. But part of the thing too with food with him is you know, not having a hunger trigger. You can definitely see his mood change,
right,
because of a lack of food. So yeah.
And when he gets to that point, will he eat typically?
Yeah, if you get the right thing in them.
Okay. So what if you told yourself a different story when your kids didn't eat dinner?
That would be helpful.
How can we reframe that?
Well, I think part of it is, so there's also a control piece, right, of which, you know, the most basic toddler parent training is you can't control food. You can only provide what you tell them. I mean, what you offer. So intellectually, I know that, but it's the practice that's hard. So one of the things I was kind of thinking about is, you know, offer the meal that's been prepared. And then offer, like, okay, if you don't want this, you're welcome to make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But take me out of it and take my feelings about, because at the end of the day, I want them to have calories in them.
Yeah.
And I don't want dinner to be so unpleasant. So I think in terms of values, I have a higher value over harmony at the end of the day than I do over food. Not so much that I'm willing to give up making other things, but or making the things that I'm going to make, but I can let go of that enough to offer offer them to make a different choice.
Ooh, I love that.
This was really helpful to talk this through. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And one thing, amazing
just
how that works.
I've been in the same place. I would also say, like, think through when they have to make that choice. We usually say, like, either a sandwich or cereal, if you're not going to have it, but be at the table at the same time, just
right,
so that we can
interact.
So, you know, as opposed to in the middle of the meal where you're like, this is inedible and I have to leave now, and they miss the whole thing, you know. But, yeah, good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, that's helpful.
That's what
you.
We do, too. We do that, too. If you don't like what we're having, you can make yourself. Everybody, you know, even my 8-year-old can get up and make himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a bowl of cereal. But you do have to sit down and join us for dinner.
Yeah.
So that's great. So just a couple things in that, and maybe this will help everyone too. You know, when we're talking about triggers. I mean, there's a process to keep yourself calm when you're triggered, because, you know, nothing happens when we're triggered. We Elaine calls it the amygdala hijack, right? So your brain is just like flooded, and there's no way you can speak calmly or confidently or make a rational thought. Coherent. And so there's a couple of things to do, and it sounds like you're doing a great job of this already. And the first thing is just to recognize and acknowledge that you're getting triggered, right? It's not about what your kid's doing. It's more about what's going on with you. And then, you know, take a time out. Give yourself the permission to leave the room. Some people need a lot of time, like they need to go run up and down the stairs a couple times or drink a glass of water. You know, whatever you need to do to get yourself back to calm, go ahead and do that. This is really helpful, you're like at the heat of the moment. And then, you know, think about the story that you're telling yourself. Like you were saying that, I think a lot of us go to the shoulds, you know, I'm a bad parent, I can't even do this right, you know, and you just get in that spiral and you start riding it all the way down, and it's hard to get out of that. And if you identify the story that you're telling yourself and find a way to reframe it positively, like what you said, then, I mean, that's huge. That's huge, because our kids respond much better to the carrot than the stick, right? So by and large, I mean, the ADHD brain needs something that is interesting and motivating for them to be engaged, and carrots are far more engaging than sticks.
Right.
And as long as we can stay calm, we're a lot closer to successful parenting than we are if we freak out. We all freak out, right? I mean, it happens all the time. So give yourselves permission to forgive yourselves when it does happen. But, you know, the more we can do to remain calm, the better parents we are, I think. And, you know, protecting the relationship with our kids is huge. I mean, at the end of the day, that's probably the most important thing we do. And if we can take a big picture view and think about, okay, is this really going to be important 10 years from now, 10 months from now? And what can I do to stay calm? I think that's going to, well, at least for us, it goes a long way to a much happier and calm household. Doesn't work all the time. Like I said, ain't nobody perfect. But that's what works for us. And that's what Elaine and Diane have put together in the program as a way to be successful when you're trying to stay calm when you're triggered. What's coming up for other people?
This is Janet.
Go ahead, Janet.
Hello. Hi. There was an echo. We were noticing that lately that with our 17-year-old, the habit is to focus on what he's doing wrong and what he needs to do. And so all of our conversations, a lot of our conversations with him are not as positive as we want them to be. And that, I think, is what we're taking aim on this week, is just to notice and celebrate his successes more than we tell him what he needs to do next, or ask him what he's done, or something like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think it's more of a habit than anything else of all these years of trying to help him. I think it's more of a habit.
Yeah, because we're trying to fix him, right? I mean, we're trying to help them be successful. And gosh, with most of our kids, if we, you know, had to point out or try to change or help them fix everything that's wrong every day, I mean, it would be exhausting for all of us. Yeah, I mean, the emotional toll on you too, you know, having to recognize and point out all the things that are wrong, it just sucks, right?
Yeah.
So no wonder our kids with ADHD get depressed.
all
the time what they're doing wrong. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, if you can just stay curious, I love that, about noticing the times that you are pointing out things that you'd like for them to do differently, and maybe, you know, every one out of two or three times, finding something positive to comment on and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, the challenge is that the things that he gets excited about, like video games, are not things that I want him to do.
Right. Very normal.
He thinks that success is, like, you know, getting a new video game is not what I would say is success.
I mean, you're doing it already. I mean, it's a success for him, right? Because he achieved a goal that he wanted to achieve.
Right.
And so even if it's, you know, my eyes glaze over when my sons talk about Minecraft, I still don't get it. But they're very passionate about it, you know, and one of my sons was so excited about downloading a mod, and, you know, but I get that he's excited about it. You know, and so it's hard sometimes to be like, okay, that's
But
it does to them.
My standard response is, I'm happy you're happy, and they know that that means that, you know, I don't get it.
I'm not happy. I completely get it.
Yeah.
I think everyone on this call does.
Yeah.
So how could you say that differently so that it was like a way that he recognized as a praise or a celebration?
Yeah, you know, I think a reflecting statement, just saying, you know, you really ace that, or you know, just reflecting back what he's excited about, I think would probably, he would get it and be a little more engaging than making it about me and making it about him.
Yeah, I like that. Good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Who else wants to jump in?
Hey, this is Tatiana.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Mine is along the lines of the previous comment. It's just, my son, he's 8, and he really thrives on positive reinforcement. And, I mean, you can see it on his face, he smiles, you know, his whole face lifts. And it's just such a powerful tool to use, not only in times of quote-unquote emergencies,
mm-hmm.
But also on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, whenever I do that, he gets the message, and he actually is able to say things like, wow, you know, for instance, you know, whenever I don't eat sweets, or whenever I don't play so many video games, or whatever the case may be, I'm doing so much better. And that's such an amazing level of awareness for an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a total buy-in, and it's one of my favorite things to do and witness with him.
That's great. What are some, can you share some phrases with us that work with him?
Yeah, so if it's, you know, if it's a situation that, like I said, is not an emergency, you know, whenever he's not acting up, right,
mm-hmm.
And it's more challenging for us as parents to positively reinforce. You know, for instance, he loves painting, and it's something that he enjoys, he's natural at it, and I tell him, you know, things like, wow, how did you think about doing this? This is awesome. Of course, I say in a tone that, you know, worries for him and is believable. You know, right now I'm just giving an example, but, you know, it's just pointing out simple things that work for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that his 8-year-old mind can be proud of,
wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So in terms of parenting positively, are there any areas that are challenging for you?
Challenging. Well, I would say the challenge is when obviously there's stress around something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, if one of the challenges with him is that he'll get distracted when he's getting ready for school in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously a challenge to remind him that, you know, it's not time to look at the pictures on the way to his bedroom to get ready, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, I mean, it could be a really minor thing that distracts him.
Oh, yeah.
So I say that would be the challenge. When that happens, I try to say things like, you know, I know you must really be excited about A, B, and C.
Uh-huh.
But right now, you know, we need to focus on doing this so you can get on school in time.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, getting to school in time is actually important to him. So.
Awesome. That's great that you know that. I mean, you know what drives him. That's awesome.
Right.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you.
Sure.
So, Kathy, can I call on you for a second?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So if we're thinking about your daughter and after school time, what are some things that's coming up for you with parenting positively around that area?
It's so much easier to think of good ideas for other people.
Isn't it, though? I know. Dang
yeah.
it. you've got good ideas in there. That's my job, to help you find them. They're in there.
So the question is, sorry, say it again.
Oh, nothing. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer or anything. I'm just curious, as we're talking about parenting positive and finding ways to keep ourselves calm when we're triggered, what, if anything, resonates in that for you with respect to your daughter and the after-school challenges?
I've been trying to go through, so when you were talking about telling yourself a different story, and figuring out what the child needs at that time. I think part of the problem for me is that if I feel like I've given the child what I, you know, what they're saying they need, but I think they need that they never come back. So when she needs to sleep, like, you know, it's never like then she's ready to be engaged. If he says, you know, I have to focus on homework or I can't, you know, like it just, it feels like there's no limit on their part to getting what they need versus coming back to engage. And my sense is that it's pretty, before I started taking medication and certainly when it wears off for ADHD, which I discovered I also had once my son was diagnosed, then I certainly get that it's overwhelming and really hard to commit to like a time frame and you just don't know when you're, you know, going to be able to engage. But at the same time, you know, I don't see them when they're, I don't see them much when they're on it or when he's on it, but she's never on it. So I just, I never really know. So I feel like I have to tell myself a different story because my, you know, then I feel like she either feels like we're unsafe to be able to tell what she's really thinking or, you know, or that we just don't, we basically make her feel like she can't measure up or isn't able to do what we're asking her to do, which is literally like say hello and, you know, what happened, anything that happened. But apparently that's like really too hard.
It's too hard. Okay. So knowing that, what changes for you? Knowing that at the end, like at the end of the day, when she comes home, she's, it's, she's been holding it together for so long and trying so hard to stay on top of everything that it's just physically and emotionally impossible for her to even have a two-second conversation with you right then. What changes for you with that knowledge? Because our kids work hard. It drives me crazy when people say ADHD kids are lazy or unmotivated. No one works harder than our kids. They try so hard during the day. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying by any means. I just know that.
No, I absolutely believe that. I think that, I mean, I certainly have a lot more compassion for her. And my sense is that if I can remember that, that I won't be constantly demanding her to engage. And that I can, I mean, sometimes the most, that she, last night she actually came downstairs and I was sitting down here and she just lay on me and that's the most she can engage. Like like not anything that she can say or, you know, she just sort of, you know, it's like having a dog. Like
when but that's the dog her is effort, nice. Right?
But that's her, yeah. I mean that's the, and so she feels like, oh my gosh, this is a huge, you know, whereas I'm like, you've said nothing, I have no idea, you know. So I think I can just enjoy and appreciate that more rather than be like, what the hell are you thinking?
It's a mind meld on you. I can't read your mind. But
yeah.
What if that's, and, I mean, what if you knew that that was her way of saying, I had a good day today or I had a rough day today, Mom, and I just need to be physically close to you. And I can't verbalize it right now, but I'm trying to do it by just, you know, hugging you or being next to you.
Yeah. I usually can't touch her. She can only touch me. It's a good time.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter doesn't ever want me to touch her either, so.
It's really funny.
That's funny.
I think that, I mean, it still doesn't look like what I want it to look like. So I don't know. Obviously, she can function in the world, and she's sociable, just not here. And for me, that sort of works if I can deal with whatever she can do to reach out. I cannot stomach it when she's like unable to communicate and ignoring other, mostly her sister, who like loves her so much.
Right.
So that's the other trigger, I think, for me. But, yeah, so So I think situations like that where I feel like she's trusting me rather than she won't trust me to tell me what she's thinking. If she's trusting me to be next to me, that's close enough. Or that she's okay or whatever it is that you feel like you have to know about your kids. I don't know what story to tell myself about her and her sister, but I...
If you were to focus just on one thing, her interacting with you.
So is it just remembering the story? Remembering that this is a good thing? Remembering to not keep demanding?
I mean, if that's what works for you, I think, reframing the situation in your mind and trying to see things from our kids' perspectives and trying to figure out what it is that they need right then and there and realizing that, whether it makes sense to us or not, that this, if we trust ourselves and our perceptions and trust our kids to tell us what they need and maybe not verbally, but in whatever way that they can, I think it makes us much more open to, staying calm and to providing that support when we can. As long as they're aware of the expectations, too. I mean, if, your daughter knows that you want to have a conversation with her and be connected to her. And it sounds like this is her way. But, we're not going to solve... I wish we could solve all the problems each week, but we can't. Really, what we could do is...
Can I share one?
Hey, Kat. It's Andrew.
Oh, hey. Hi. That's my husband.
Hey.
Husband.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
So I want to share
Is it just the three of us?
Oh, no. We've got lots of people on the call.
Okay. Sorry. I'll be quiet. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I want to share this one phrase that really made a big difference when we were figuring out some things with our son. And it's, here's what I see and how it affects me.
Ah.
And it really helped me pinpoint the very thing that was bothering me that actually had an effect on me versus all the frustration that I had around their choices, his choices that were really affecting him but not me.
Mm-hmm.
So that if that helps anyone, that was...
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. On a call earlier this week, someone said, there's several... I mean, everyone has great ideas, so which I love about this. But one was, take two, or say that a different way to me. Take one is not working, and you talk about it ahead of time. And so you say, okay, it's take two. And then they know that whatever they said to you or however they said it was a way that was not received well. And could they do it again? And that's another way to kind of reframe it without getting into it. But I like that. That's good. Okay, so at the end of each call, we ask four questions, and those are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my aha or my takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? And you don't have to answer all of them, and you don't have to share them all if you don't want to, but if you want to write them all down or write your answers down, you can. And I'm not going to hold you accountable for them. I think we've talked about this before. If you want to share them at our next class in a couple weeks, that's great. If you change your mind between now and then about what you want to take aim on or what your takeaway was, that's great too. These are just to give everybody a moment to kind of process and reflect on what we've talked about today and, maybe get real clear on a few things. So we call this the check out. So who would like to check out first? So the questions again are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway from today? And that can just be, from our conversation or from the whole day. What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action?
This is Jennifer. I'll just go and summarize really quickly.
Thanks, Jennifer.
The reminder of so much about the parenting positively, which is something I really value but, struggle sometimes to implement, is just so much more about me than it is about them. It's not, and particularly with the dinner thing like I was talking about. So I'm going to, the reminder about triggers and then just really realizing how many triggers I have around food and feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And just also the reminder that as many triggers as I have about food, I really do at the end of the day value them and our time together more than my need to feed them a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to talk to my husband about this because he has his own triggers, and I'm going to gently figure out a way to have that conversation in terms of my action steps. And then also just try to come up with something concrete around it doesn't have to be like this. Here's an alternative. And I don't have to sacrifice my need to at least offer them good food, but it doesn't have to devolve into what it has been. And
I
so I'm feeling
that.
Way more positive than when I got on the phone.
Oh, I'm
so
glad. And I love that. I love that you're finding a way to honor yourself and your value around feeding your family without having it devolve into something else. And you also said that you value them more than you value that. And that's really, really, really good. Thank you. Perfect. Who's next?
I'm going to focus on that question, what does my child need right now, to help me really stay positive with them and focused on what's the real issue in that moment or what do they need or listen for some successes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How can you set yourself up for success with that?
I think just the simplicity of that question in mind, just what does my child need right now, and keeping that the focus when I'm with them,
mm-hmm.
just keeping that question in mind, I think will help me to keep looking for that answer.
Awesome. Cool. Okay, we've got a couple minutes left if anybody wants to check out.
Is it strange to think about what you need right now?
Not at all.
Like if I said, what do I need right now instead of being like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that's huge. I think it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's a lot of times it's more about us than them or what we need to stay calm before we can figure out what they need.
Hmm.
I think that's great.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Great. So I guess just focus on today about, you know, just listening about triggers and trying to positive parent positively. And some things that I thought about was, you know, again, just going back to, you know, like when I feel really triggered and, you know, about the screens and transitioning, just walking away for a minute or two because that doesn't help anything when I get all triggered. And let myself calm down, and so I'm going to try to do that, and then go back to it. And then also maybe praising him for when he does get off in a reasonable time. So maybe that will be helpful. I don't really know what my takeaway is as far as, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what he needs as far as, you know, transition, because what he needs and what he wants are different things. So that's
right.
I don't really have a clarity on that. But I'm gonna just keep on plugging away and just see if I can not get so triggered.
That's a great start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got time for one more. Everybody's good? I know it's Friday.
I think I'm gonna focus on my on the story I'm telling myself that's getting me triggered. So like
I thought of two things. One is to take Kate out to lunch and actually say, you know, this is what I see and how it affects me. But the other thing is to, regarding her sister, that the other thing is to figure out if I'm telling my, if I'm angry that she's unable to trust us to share, or that I'm a mediator and am constantly in conflict with my child or whatever, a communications major and have poor communication, then if I can make it more about her, I know, if I can make it more about her and not worry about what it means about me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, work through it. Yeah. I mean, figure out what the value is there that's causing you to feel conflicted or to feel triggered, and see if you can find a way to resolve it that honors both your value and what she needs.
Hmm.
And another thing, too, you know, when, as we all know, ADHD is genetic, and I know you shared that you have it as well, and that might be something to look at, too. You know, is your medication wearing off about that time, too? Are you hungry? What do you need? That kind of thing. And that's true for, you know, parents who don't have ADHD as well. Just something to keep in mind, too. But I have ADHD also, and I know my medication tends to wear off about the same time theirs does. I have to be careful about make sure I get my workout in before they get home, if possible. Otherwise, I'm cranky, too. But anyway, thank you. Thanks for sharing, everybody, today. Have a great weekend. Anybody have any last-minute thoughts, burning desires, needs to share before we jump off? Going once.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you so much.
No, thank really you guys. Thanks.
Have a
great weekend. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, B.
The moderator has left the conference.